This week is often referred to as Good Shepherd Week, the third week of Easter. Our reading today will reflect that as well. This is the words St. Paul spoke to the elders or the pastors in the city of Ephesus after he had instructed them for 3 years. Taken from Acts chapter 21, beginning with verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 1930, sheep ranchers in France were having so much trouble with wolves killing their sheep that the government finally permitted them to shoot the wolves. And because of that, they felt that it pretty much eradicated the wolf population in the entire country of France. But decades later, wolves from Italy started to sneak up over the Alps and come down into the fields of France, and again started to have, the ranchers started to have problems again with wolves getting at their sheep. And it got so bad that within the last 20 years or so, they've had to try to put a control on this again. In the first 6 months of 2011, somebody kept track of this, wolves killed 1,300 plus sheep in France. And in a single night, they know that one wolf killed 10 sheep and drove 62 over a cliff to their death. So once again, in the last 10 years or so, ranchers are allowed to shoot wolves up to 6 a year. That's your quota. You can shoot 6 wolves a year in France if you're ever on vacation and you want to know something to do. I looked up some things about wolves on a website that does research on them, and this is what it says. Wolves use social cooperation to conduct and perhaps plan coordinated attacks. When running into a herd of prey, they continuously test the animals and make decisions on which single animal they will eventually kill. After scattering a herd, wolves may stand and watch their prey, waiting for a weak individual to reveal itself. When Jesus and, in the text before us, St. Paul, use the imagery of wolves attacking sheep to describe how false teachers can come after believers in Christ, they're using imagery that was very understandable in first century Palestine. This was something that was often around the people. In fact, listen to the words that Paul uses to describe how these false teachers may cause trouble to believers. He says, savage wolves will come, not sparing the flock. The Greek word there for savage, some translate it fierce. It actually means very serious. And that means there's an intent behind it. It's a word that has weight to it. And so it's important for us to understand how the devil can try to utilize false teaching and have it creep into the church to ultimately weaken and hopefully, in his mind, destroy the Christian faith. He excels at his knowledge of Christian doctrine. The wolf knows exactly what Christian doctrine should be, and he knows then also how to pervert it. And he's aware of the tremendous value that you and your soul have to God. He has purchased your soul with his own blood, Paul reminds these pastors. The flock of sheep, the believers in Christ, have been purchased with the blood of Christ, with the Son of God. And he knows how much the believers appreciate that, how much you and I, as followers of Christ, cherish the fact that our Lord Jesus laid down his life for all of our sins so that we could have the wonderful hope of going to heaven. So he's aware of our appreciation for this Savior. And he knows, the devil knows, that the only thing that's going to keep you out of his control and ultimately dragging you to the pits of hell is this humble little thing inside of you called faith, this tiny little thing that you can't find with a microscope. And yet that spiritual gift of faith that the Holy Spirit implants in you in baptism and through the Word of God, that precious gift of faith in your heart that loves Christ, that is the thing that's going to keep you out of his control. And so he's got to figure out, how do I get at that? How do I attack that thing inside of you that's a spiritual thing down inside of your heart? And he knows how your faith is sustained by God. He knows how God the Holy Spirit uses his word and sacrament through the office of the ministry, through your parents, through your Bible reading, your devotion reading. He knows exactly how those things in you are sustained. And so he has to figure out a way to get inside of that process, to put himself down into the things that you like and that you appreciate and love as a Christian. How can he possibly infiltrate that world, that little spiritual world in your life, to cause harm to you and ultimately take you away from Christ? And he knows that you're well indoctrinated. Probably most of us in here are pretty well indoctrinated. A lot of us went through some pretty intense study of this. Look here, you're at Bethany studying this. You are listening to chapel services frequently and going to church regularly. You are well indoctrinated in the teachings of Christ. And so he knows that tempting you with being a Buddhist or a Muslim or an atheist or a Hindu is probably not going to cut it. You're going to recognize that pretty fast, pretty quickly, and you're going to just pull away. And so how can he get inside of the church? How can he come at you by appearing to be in, to be part of the church, as Jesus says, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Satan's best attack is to come at us with false doctrine. Now, he can also come at you and me with temptations to sins that we fall into and just love and hold on to without repentance. That happens too. But one of his best ways to infiltrate and destroy Christianity is from the inside, and among especially the clergy. If he can infiltrate the colleges and seminaries with some new false thinking and ideas that get people to just start drifting away a little bit, that's where he can do his greatest damage and his greatest work. You know, if you study church history, it's pretty rare that false teaching comes in from lay people. It's usually people like me. It's usually people who are in leadership positions, teachers and pastors. That's where the devil uses them. And that's exactly why St. Paul is warning these very pastors. He says, from among yourselves, men are going to rise up and preach perverse things. So he says, watch out and be on your guard. And if you study church history, you can see this is certainly the case. That so often, the real problem that weakens the church comes through those who are in positions of leadership. Back in 1917, there was a group of Lutheran pastors that were part of a larger church body called a synod. But inside of this synod of pastors, there was a smaller group that realized that some of the wording they were agreeing to in order to merge together with some other church bodies, some of the wording they were agreeing to was really not as tight on the Word of God as it should be. It was allowing a little bit of false teaching into the church. And so they realized that they had to get away from this, as hard as that was. They realized we've got to push ourselves away from this and separate away from it. And if you look at the group that they left, okay, if you watch the church body that they left through the years, through the decades, within about 50 or 60 years, this Lutheran church body that they left was now permitting their pastors to baptize people, listen to this, in the name of our mother, lover, and friend. That's how far away from the gospel they got. They had completely even changed the concept of God. There are people in that church body today that worship the goddess Sophia. The goddess Sophia. Now, if you could trace that history back to where this started, where did this little infiltration happen with the devil? Well, that's where it started to take place, back in 1917, World War I. And yet the decisions that were made there had a dramatic influence on what would happen for the generations to follow. So St. Paul is warning these shepherds. But inherent in this warning, this isn't a text just for pastors. This is a text for lay people. This is a text for us to realize that you don't trust the man. Don't trust the person. Don't trust the church body. Don't trust the college. You trust the Word of God. You trust Christ. That's where the truth always will be found. And it's possible for men, synods, and colleges to drift away from that. We pray to God that won't happen in our generation, but it can. And so it's staying with the Word of Christ and His doctrine. This is what is essential for us. You know, all of us as Christians love the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We all want the church to grow. We all want to see more Christians brought to the knowledge of the same Savior we love and appreciate. But in that Great Commission, our Lord Jesus also says, teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. There's a tightness to this. There's a tightness to the doctrine of Christ that Jesus commands his church to carry with them. Notice the intensity in Paul's voice when he's talking to these pastors, because he knows what's at stake. He knows that eternal life is what is at stake. He says, for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What things do people warn you about with tears that makes it that much of an intense thing? That's how precious this faith is that we have. That's how important the doctrine is that we have and preserve for our children and grandchildren's generations to come. So that we someday can fulfill the words that Peter gives us. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will not fade away. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Amen. With that in mind, please join me in a special prayer and collect today. Turn to page 160 in the front part of the hymn book, page 160, collect number 97. Let us rise and join in this prayer in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that you have caused us to come to the knowledge of your word. We pray, graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach your word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teachings, and frustrate the counsels of all who pervert your word, who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, that your true church may evermore be established among us and be defended and preserved from such false teachers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.